Hey, Mason, I really need a good gift for my generic loved one. Any ideas?
Oh, yeah, Andrew. I have the gift they need. If you sign up for GoDaddy's Economy Blogcast package, you'll receive 1 gig of disk space, 100 gigs of bandwidth, recording tools, and much more.
Whoa, with all those features, I'd guess that kind of package will run me at least $20 a month and be plastered with ads.
You're wrong, Andrew. The Blogcast Economy package is just $4.49 a month for 12 months.
That's a deal, and a perfect way to get your own website, blog, or podcast started.
Ooh, yeah, that is a deal. Plus, enter code MUGGLE when you check out. Save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Is everybody ready?
Yeah!
Oh, they don't sound ready, Hagrid. They're much more go-home unless they're more enthusiastic than that. Hagrid said, are you ready?
Yeah!
More like it.
Right, Professor.
Yes.
I'm ready to pave the way for our dear friends to come straight down here and we'll cheer and clap and screaming. So, ladies and folks, will you please give a great big round of applause to our first guy, Mr. Andrew Sandsworth.
Yeah! Oh, here he is. Andrew, oh, you look as if you're ready to be in the sixth form. Yes.
As you can see, Andrew,
when you hug Hagrid, could you stand up? Oh, sorry, you were standing. Oh, I thought he was kneeling. Yes.
He's a midget, as always. Right, mental on that. I don't think that was loud enough, clapping and cheering. So this time, when you got even worse, careful, Tiger. Thank you.
Health
even
and safety.
Even wilder. Jamie Lyons!
Oh, where is he? Jamie! Oh, and have you finished that essay on the 12th century apothecaries? You have? Oh, I'll take it then. Oh, no, that's not an essay. It's a jumper. All right, carry on. There you are. Good to have you. Give him a kiss. Oh! I didn't realise he was like that, Hagrid.
Okay, go and sit yourself down there, young man. Oh, he's got some special artifacts over there.
Yes.
What all that's about there. Okay then, I think you're going to go even wilder now as we're going to bring on the wonderful Matt Britta!
Oh, Matt. Oh. And you've come in a tie. But what happened to the hair? Oh no, he's one of these other half-breeds. Half boy, half porcupine. Yes, come through, come through.
They're what they call troll bogies, Professor.
Ah,
these people call it gel or something. I'm not
it's
sure.
Disgusting. Let me just wipe it on there.
I'm a great broadcast. Go on, give another round of applause. Go on, Matt.
I'm glad you came. I'm glad you came in old clothes.
And then, who's left?
Ah, well, we're a bit unbalanced with the sexes at the moment.
Should we bring Ellie out, shall we?
Alicia.
Should we bring her out? Yes.
Would you like her to come down the aisle now?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Alicia Montfort!
Oh, darling! Good to see you. Yes. Oh. I'm sure you have problems in the airports with the metal detectors. Right, Hagrid, are we going to hand it over to them?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One
very,
more big round of applause for all the guys here. It's a very, very special night tonight. Let's make some magic!
Thank you, Hagrid. Thank you, Dumbledore. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to MuggleCast Live in London 2! Woo! 3. This is 3. We're all very excited. Is everyone excited for Beetle the Bard? Who was here for when we were here for Book 7? A few people in the audience raising their hands. Of course, we're all here. We're all very excited for Beetle the Bard. What we're going to do, we're going to treat this like a normal MuggleCast. We're going to be talking about the latest news, and then we'll get into some Beetle discussion. Then we have some really cool prizes brought to you by Olivons. So we'll get to those later on. But first, there's been a lot of, besides Beetle the Bard, what has been the other big story?
Yeah!
I'm not talking about that. No, Harry Potter-wise, the Half-Blood Prince trailer that just came out a few weeks ago. What did everyone think of it?
Yeah!
Some lost hesitation. We still haven't gotten the thoughts of Matt and Elisa yet, so I want to get them now.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, no, sorry, Jamie and Elisa, yeah. Jamie, what did you think about this trailer? I sipped this beautiful-looking water.
Oh, yeah, okay. I really liked it, actually. I thought, I think starting with movie 3, Harry Potter has taken on, like, they look more like proper films. Like, not to say 1 and 2 aren't very good, because I realize I've just said they're a bit, you know. But I just think they started to look like proper movie trailers. So I think quite a few movies, like the first two Harry Potter ones, you watch them and you think, well, they look very fantasy, they look very Harry Potter-ish, but starting at 3, I thought they started to take on that darker tone that Cuarón brought out, and I think Half-Blood Prince looks awesome in that light. You know, I think it's really going to be dark, it's going to be a good film, and it's going to be scary, which is good, and they're probably still going to give it a 12A rating, so everyone can go and see it, because that would be unfair if they couldn't. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
And Lisa, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, my favorite part about it was probably the opening line where Harry's just like, I just sort of wanted to go with it at this point. I really like that. I like that it was sort of coalescing humor and like the darker sides of it at the same time, which I really thought Half-Blood Prince was all about. But so far, definitely my favorite trailer.
Harry wouldn't say a line like that, though, would he?
What?
Well, I'm just going to roll with it.
Well, maybe not, okay, maybe not, like, you know, out loud in the book, but I think it's...
He doesn't have the personality for it, really, though, does he?
I think he's learned to roll with it, though. He's had to.
Can you guys believe the film would have been out for 2 or 3 weeks now if it weren't for the delay? I hate to get everyone down. But it's almost surreal that it would be over and done with at this point. But, yeah, so... I think we made that big post on MuggleNet. I'm sure Warner Brothers didn't appreciate us reminding people, but... Yeah, whatever.
How many of you guys think Twilight is a poor, like... A poor thing to come
It's a wrong crowd to bring it up in front of.
Really?
Yeah. Boo, get out of here.
Have I just alienated everyone?
Jamie, just shut up.
Oops.
We'll say real quick, I'm sure some of you heard about this now, Matt and I are flight over here from L.A. The director of Twilight, Catherine Hardwicke, and the lead, Kristen Stewart, who plays Bella, we're both on our flight.
Yeah.
And when we saw them, I turned into the biggest fangirl you would imagine. I never reacted like that before, but just something about them actually... Like seeing them, I don't know.
It was funny because we were just sitting there, and I don't know, you were playing with your iPhone or something, and I was looking somewhere off, and I saw this woman just walk by me, and I just thought, Catherine Hardwicke, and then you were like, what are you talking about? And then you just start screaming, like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god!
Yeah, I really was. It was really exciting. But then, sort of a funny story, and then we'll move on. We got to baggage claim in London. And I was like, okay, some people aren't going to believe this, so I have to take a picture. So, and we couldn't find Kristen, but Catherine was there waiting by us. So I had a magazine or something, and I just sort of stood up, and I just went like this. I got like 3 takes just in case, you know, one of them turned out bad, and that's on my Facebook now, so. But anyway, so that's what happened. Back to Beetle before I start fangirling again. Is everyone okay with the July release date now for Half-Blood Prince? Does it... No? But isn't it good now? There's something to look forward to this year? And it's all because of that DVD that's coming out Monday. Dark Knight.
Oh, well.
And James Bond.
On that note, did people like the new James Bond film? Or?
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
Yeah,
that's true. It did suck. Mm.
And one other bit of news today, the AP, the Associated Press reported that 8 million copies of Beetle the Bard are being printed today, or will be the initial print run. 3.5 million in the U.S., and I don't think they announced the U.K. Does anyone know how many books are in the U.K. for Beetle? A lot? 7 million? Okay, well that math doesn't add up, but
so
maybe... I don't know. Maybe
you
that was just
7 billion.
No, million. I thought she said billion, so I said
2 for every person who lives in the world.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, yeah. So you guys got a few copies. All of them are here, actually, because here. Anyway, let's move on to the Beetle discussion. What's everyone's general expectations of the book? Because we know we're all excited, and they've added things that weren't exactly in the original book that J.K. Rowling wrote. Matt, why don't we start with you? What are your general expectations of this book? Are you hoping to be enthralled? You can't put it down?
I don't... What is it about?
It's a Tales of Beetle the Bard. Actually, one of the Elise... Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. One of Elise's friends saw the books already. They're about the size of, like, the Fantastic Beasts and the Quidditch Through the Ages books. So,
I'm hoping it's going to be a good read. I mean, I don't know how many times I'm going to reread it like I did with the Harry Potter books, but...
Yeah. Well, what's going to keep me interested, and we'll get to this in a second, but what's really going to keep me interested are the notes from Dumbledore. Because, when I read the descriptions of those, I got really excited. Yeah. Elisa, how about you? What are you looking forward to?
I don't know. I'm sort of hoping that we see some other sort of direct relevance to the series. Like, obviously, we know, with the one story and the Peverell brothers, that's, hugely significant. But I'm hoping that some of the other tales in there, we're going to be able to spot some sort of red herrings or symbology in there as well. That'd be really neat.
Yeah. Are there really going to be that many red herrings or something in the book?
What?
Are there...
A little slower, if you don't mind, actually.
Yeah. I forgot what I said.
And Jamie, how about you? I mean, are you excited for the Dumbledore stuff mostly, or what?
I'm looking forward to it, but I worry it's kind of going to be like Quidditch Through the Ages and Fantastic Beasts, which I did enjoy, but I thought they were written kind of away from the book, so you could read them, but it's not like reading a Harry Potter book.
Right.
So I'd like to see some direct references to what happened in book seven. I'd like to see her answer some questions that people are still wondering about. But I don't know if she's going to. And like I thought in Fantastic Beasts, I think it was when it said, like, this book is the property of Harry Potter. I thought that was kind of bad, to be honest.
Well, it was like a little library book, right? From the
And it was like Hangman stuff. I thought that was a bit unnecessary.
Because they get bored of reading it. Are you sure that wasn't you who drew that in there when you were bored?
No, because I wouldn't put this is the book is the property of
Harry
Potter. Like, probably.
So let me quote what Amazon said about the Dumbledore description, because I think this is going to be one of the most interesting things. Enlightening and comprehensive commentary, including extensive footnotes by Dumbledore, who brings his unique wizard-eyed perspective to the collection. Do you think Joe and the publishers decided to add this to maybe sell the book more? Because do you think it would sell as well if this book would have been published just how it was?
It sounds like it's written to sell, like enlightening and comprehensive commentary, including extensive footnotes.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you guys think, would you guys be as excited if it didn't have the Dumbledore stuff? Because personally, that's like what I'm most excited about. You are?
Yeah, it's a Harry Potter book.
Just go with me. Come on. I know. Yeah. Also, Professor Dumbledore also includes fascinating historical background, including tidbits such as the history and pursuit of magic wands. What could that be about?
Probably the historical
wands. Jokes aside, what could it really be about? I mean, would he go really in-depth like this? Because I know Joe can't resist, being able to go in-depth in something like this.
I don't know.
Sorry, go on.
You go, Matt.
I had nothing to say.
I can't remember what I was going to say, really. Angie, you're the host, you can save us now.
Okay, thank you. And what else was there? And a brief comment on the dark arts and its practitioners, which is also pretty cool.
Is that going to be from Dumbledore, like him talking
That's
about
him writing,
arts?
Yeah.
That would be probably
cool. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because he kind of dabbled in it, sort of with Grindelwald.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to hear his view on it, because so far we've seen, everyone say the dark arts are really, really bad, and we've seen it from Voldemort's point of view where he loves them, and the good people's point of view where they hate them, the Order of the Phoenix. But if we have it from Dumbledore, I think him, he's experienced it, and he doesn't really think good and bad, black and white. So I think it'd be interesting to hear what he says.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear Dumbledore's viewpoints on dark arts through his point of view, and not like him telling like Harry or something.
Is it going to feature Grindelwald though? Is he going to talk about him?
I don't know. I haven't read the book.
I would think so, because that Grindelwald is dark arts. I mean,
yeah.
One of the worst wizards there.
And then the other question that I thought would be fun to discuss was, we know there were seven copies handwritten by Joe. One was auctioned off to Amazon, and then we know one went to Arthur Levine, the Scholastic editor, and the second copy went to Barry Cunningham, the Bloomsbury editor. And so there's four other copies. So who do you guys think the other four could have gone to? Her sister. But how about somebody in the movie, like David Heyman, Fitty, her assistant, definitely. Daniel Radcliffe, no.
Yeah. Doesn't he have like everything though else?
Didn't
yeah,
he just,
yeah,
need
he has
it,
enough.
He has.
Yeah. Didn't you get a copy? You were influential.
Well, I don't know about that influential.
No,
I think it worked like a Willy Wonka type thing where she hid them in like five bars of chocolate.
Someone's
going to find them.
Yeah, Arthur and Barry got very lucky.
That's so lucky. They're two editors that who do the book.
Who knew? What are the chances? Lisa, what do you think?
I don't know.
I think Fitty definitely. It's people who were very involved in the book series.
She probably gave us something a bit nicer, though. Like, I mean, it's nice, a handwritten copy, but since you've been working with her for so long, you'd think, like, she'd, like,
something nicer.
Bought
her a house. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. All right, so what we're going to do now, if does anyone else have any other thoughts about that before we move along? She had a friend she based Ron off of.
Oh, the guy he drove her around. Or, yeah. She might have given
Didn't he sue her or something?
No, that was her brother?
Cousin.
Oh. Yeah, on that lie detector show. That was dumb. That was probably fake. But, yeah, I don't know. So I think it would be interesting. And I don't see why it, like, okay, obviously those four remaining people aren't going to post about it. But I feel like, you know, we should know. We have the right to know.
We have the right.
Did anyone get the Amazon Collector's Edition?
Yeah.
A few people. I really want to get it, but
the
special edition. Yeah, that's really $100.
Nice. Yeah. It's $100.
Yeah.
What extra did you get with it?
You get a lot of stuff.
You get a really nice cover.
No, but you get like 10 special drawings from Joe. What else? Does anyone remember? It's a lot. It's well worth the extra money. It's got the proper fake cover. Yeah.
Yeah.
The what? Sorry? Yeah. Oh, it's got the gems in it. Yeah. But, like, when that first came out, I think I said this on MuggleCast, I was so amazed at the price difference. It went from $10 to $100. It's like, what's that 90 really giving you?
Well, I mean, come on.
It's worth it.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Can she draw, though? Like,
yeah. Have you seen the pictures? She's drawing. She's,
I haven't seen them.
They're not, you know, insert good artist here. Picasso. They're actually quite, kind of like Picasso. Yeah, still by J.K. Rowling, of course.
That is a fair point.
We're going to do some Beatle trivia right now. And what we're going to do, we're going to pick specific people in the audience. And I think we have people standing in the wings with microphones. Where are they?
Can you open this?
Do we have our wing people? Oh, here. Okay, there's one mic. That's all we need. Oh, there's two. Okay, so raise your hand if you want to participate. These are Beatle-related questions, and you win a fabulous prize sponsored by Olivons. It's olivons.com, master wand makers. Raise your hand. Okay, we'll start with this girl right here. Yep. Good. Good. Stand up. No. Back two. There you go. Hello? What's your name? Hold on. Wait a second.
This works kind of differently in that you have to give the answer before he asks the question.
Oh, yeah. Check. Do it again. Good?
Hello?
Okay, so where are you from?
I live in London, but I'm originally from a place called Blackpool.
Oh, okay, cool.
Ooh.
Hey, woo, Blackpool. Yeah, I haven't been there. Okay. Okay, here's your question, okay? And you're going to be able to pick from, we have a few things up here. We have scarves,
secret,
Olivons, wands, sweaters, and tattoos. You can just take the tattoos too. Okay, the question is, and don't yell it out unless you want her to get it, of course. Actually, don't yell it out. What was the final selling price for the seventh copy of the handwritten book? This was, of course, purchased by Amazon. It was a lot of money. You can ballpark it. I mean,
is this in pounds or dollars?
But either.
Both. $4 million?
Yeah, $3.98 million. There you go. Everyone's like, how'd she know that?
I know. How did you know that?
I didn't know that.
No, that's good. Come collect your prize at you can come up now.
Yeah.
What do you want? You want a Harry Potter scarf?
Yes, please.
Okay, perfect.
Oh, she's got a Slytherin shirt.
Where's the other stuff, Elisa? Do you have it? Can you just put it on the table? Okay.
While you're doing that, do you think I can just throw a t-shirt into the audience? I've always wanted to do
that. Yeah, sure. Go ahead. These are the wonderful... a lot of you can get them. We have a lot of extras that we're going to be giving away at the end, too.
That was so cool. I'm going to have to do that again.
I waited my life for that. Waited all my life. All right. One more. Go ahead. Make your dreams come true. You feel better now?
No, I'm going to have to do it again.
All right, hold on.
I'll sit back and hide my
Okay, next question. Who wants... how about this girl right here? Sorry, hand up first. Okay, what's your name?
Beth.
Where are you from?
Iowa City, Iowa.
Oh, wow. Why are you here?
I'm studying abroad for the semester.
Oh, cool. Where at?
Yeah.
With my program for Grinnell College.
Cool. Okay. Nobody be thrown off by your American accent. It's normal. Okay. On what day was it announced that Beetle the Bard would be published in the UK and the US? What day? It had special significance.
It's quite significant, yeah.
Very.
July 31st.
Yes, yep. Harry's birthday. There you go. You win a fabulous prize from Olivons.com. Come up here. You can pick a prize.
Wait, do they get to pick?
Okay. Yeah, that you guys could pick. There's a variety of wines up here. Next question. How about this guy right here? Got to get a guy. What's your name, dude?
Steven.
Steven, where are you from?
London.
London. Awesome. Are you good with your Beetle the Bard knowledge? Have you brushed up?
Maybe.
Okay, let's see. Okay, well, this could be challenging. I don't know. Name three of the five stories found in Beetle the Bard. Oh, you can pass it off to someone if you feel like this may be too difficult
one.
A question. He's thinking hard.
Babbity Rabbit.
Close enough.
Yeah, that's...
The Tale of the Three Brothers.
Yes.
And the Wishing Pot.
Close enough. That was like a combination of two titles, but whatever. So you got like 2.5, 2/4 of each. All right. Trying desperately for him to win something. All right, thank you. You won an awesome prize from Olivons. Okay, question four. What are we at? Four. Let's see. How about... No, you're too close to the other girl who... Sorry, no. Okay, fine. Yeah, right here. Right here. And then we'll get someone from over this side, and then one more. What's your name?
Alex.
Where are you from, Alex?
Norway.
Wow. What are you here for?
See you guys.
Oh, stop. Why'd you win a prize just for okay, here's the question. How many copies of Beetle the Bard did Scholastic say will be in the initial print run in the U.S.?
Hasn't this already been said?
Yeah, didn't we just say this?
Did I say that? Well,
yeah, you did.
We're making sure she's listening, so go ahead. See, she wasn't listening, okay?
Oh.
New question.
You can ballpark it.
To the nearest 10 million.
Eight's what? Oh, million? I'm sorry, that's not correct. But come up and get something anyway, and we'll have someone else answer it. How about this guy right here?
I thought that was right.
Well, no, in the U.S. specifically. Oh. But it's okay. That was good enough. This guy right here in the Gryffindor scar?
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Sure can.
Yeah. What's your name?
James.
James, how many copies was it in the U.S.?
Was it 3.5 million?
That's correct.
Yeah.
You won a prize from Olivons.com. And actually, we have two more questions. Rosie, oh look, we're giving the contestant pictures. What is this? All right, microphone, put over here. This girl right here.
Hi.
Hi. Good. Stand up.
Stand up.
What? You don't want to? Okay. What's your name, Ashley?
From Philadelphia.
From Philly.
Wow.
Yeah. You two were at Enlightening.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Close.
Why are we picking Americans in London?
Sorry, I don't know. They're studying. Oh, studying. Oh. Yeah, everyone's studying here.
Jeez. Is there anybody here who's English? Okay.
Okay. How many? Are you listening?
Yeah.
This is very important. How many pages is the original handwritten copy of Beetle the Bard? How many pages?
27.
Oh, no. Oh, God. No, I'm sorry. This girl right back here. Hold on. This girl in the blue.
100?
Close. Mm. This girl. Yeah, go on.
Isn't it 96 or 97?
No. Unless I have the number wrong, but I'm pretty sure I have it right. Anyone else? This girl?
Is it 128?
Closer. Higher.
157.
Yeah. Did anyone know that? I hope I got the number right. I read it online. I got it off Wikipedia, so it must be right. I didn't get it off Wikipedia, for the record. Yes, that's where we get all our information. Okay, and one last final question. I hate to make you run around, but you want to just...
Yeah.
No, come over this side. This girl right here in the black cap. Here we go. She's going to win a fabulous prize. Who gets the 150? You can come up here and get it. Yeah, if you want. Okay, last question. Go ahead. This girl in the black cap. You ready? Do you have the microphone?
Yeah.
I can't see. Sorry. Okay. This is a very recent news story, so hopefully you've been checking the fan sites. What tale What tales did Scholastic editor Arthur Levine recently compare the tales of Beetle to?
Something to do with Grimm.
Yes, the Grimm brothers, yes. There you go. Yay! Thank you, Olivants, for those... thank you, Olivants, for those wonderful prizes. And now what we're going to do, we're going to open up the floor, and we want to take lots of questions from you guys to ask you anything related, if you want to talk about anything related to Beetle, or anything related to the movie, or J.K. Rowling's art.
First, can we just check who's come the furthest today? Who's come there? Oh man, that's got to win.
Oh my god.
Shall I test my throwing arm and see if I can get a t-shirt all the way back there?
Don't hit the light.
Oh yeah, the light's gonna...
And hit the light.
Sorry,
no, I'm just
you can come up and get one.
Oh.
You can come up and get one.
Yeah. Oh, we have lots of shirts back here, so once we're done, you guys can come
And every time you ask a question, you get a sheet of these awesome scarves.
Oh man, cool. Those are also brought to you by Olivants. Okay, who's got a question? Just a general question, or what's up, David? Just want to say hi. Go ahead. Anyone raising their hand? That girl right there, who just won the prize.
This is kind of cheeky, but where's my pickle pack shirt?
It's in the mail.
Is it still in the mail?
I'll get it to you. Give me your address after the show.
Okay.
Jeez.
Andrew, we should have brought some pickle packs.
I know, we should have. I should have been prepared for this. Okay, how about someone else? This guy in the blue. It's your question.
Do you think this will be a book that, like, really little kids read? Like, parents read to, like toddlers or whatever?
It doesn't really seem like it.
Tales?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think it is. Like, I don't know if adults think it's going to be part of Harry Potter or if it's more like a fan book.
Well, it's got a huge Harry Potter thing on top. I mean, it's kind of Harry Potter.
But it's not Harry Potter and the Tales of Beetle the Bard. You know, it's like more of a companion book.
It can stand on its own, so I would imagine that people would. I mean, I would.
They'd probably love it. After, like, Order of the Phoenix at, like, that thick, when they can read their child, like, a book that's a lot thinner, they're going to love
it. Yeah, they would rather read that than be Harry Potter.
Do we have any little kids here? I don't know, 10, 11, 12?
Two.
How old are you? 11. Are you really excited for Beetle? Yeah, see, there you go. Question answered. No, I mean, let's be honest, it's not going to sell as many copies as Harry Potter did. And, I mean, this has been totally expected. I was reading an article today comparing Book 7 had 12 million copies in the initial print run just for the U.S., and so, I mean, you know, it's still going to be a great book, but all I'm saying is I don't think it'll appeal too much.
That's still quite a big print run, though, compared to Book 7.
How old are you? You look young. This kid right here. 12? You don't look a day over 10. I don't mean that in a bad way, though. I really don't. I didn't mean that in a bad way. But you're excited to read it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. All right, next question.
Okay.
How about this girl right here?
How do you feel about the way that Harry's portrayed in the trailer? Like, he's a bit cocky. He says
he is cocky.
I am the chosen one.
I think that was a really funny line, though. It was some comic relief, and it was...
But, I don't know, I still stick by this thing where I just don't think he has the personality for that. Like, I don't think Harry Potter's that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Who said that?
Yeah, I guess.
I agree with you.
Just a hater, man.
That's a good point.
You're talking with face paint. What are you saying? It looks good. Well, I think it was really funny. And Dan's been really... His acting's really good. It's because of Equus. It's what everyone says.
It's probably because
he's great because of Equus.
You get naked in front of a full audience. I think your acting better get full good.
Yeah. Who here saw Equus?
Me! Woo!
This is a stupid question, but did you enjoy it?
She's crying. She just had a flashback.
The memories that have been brought back now. Wow.
It was really good, yeah. It was really good, I think, just for the acting.
Yeah.
I really believe that.
Richard
Griffiths really
was so cool as well.
We'll go right back here, done that. Oh no, we got a second microphone.
MuggleCast shirt, eh?
Oh yeah, awesome.
Oh nice.
What's your name?
Gemma.
Gemma.
I was wondering whether you think they're going to make Ron into the comic relief again in this film.
I think he really is.
Well, we saw it in the trailer, didn't we? With Ramil Devane and I don't know.
I don't like him when he does comic relief so much. They do it all the time. I liked him in Order of the Phoenix because he didn't have much comic
relief.
He's
sort of Harry's wingman, so he can do stuff like that, yeah. I think. But I don't know. Elisa, do you like it?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of his character, too, in the books, in a way. So
yeah, yeah, but he's a little cooler in the books.
Okay, well, maybe yeah. You should just be cast as Ron, then.
I should have!
All right, next question.
Hi. I'm going to break a little bit of taboo and ask a question about another podcast.
Okay.
That has to do with Potter.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my goodness. Did you guys read Melissa Anelli's Harry a History?
I started reading it. It's good.
What did you think?
It's good. It's a good book, Harry History. Is it on sale here?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's a good book. I don't think anyone else has read it, though. Yeah,
no, no. Sorry.
No, we burned it. No. Read it, guys. Read it. Let's go right here. Yeah, Jimmy?
I was kind of annoyed, though, because Andrew and Ben have mentioned that. I was getting excited.
Go ahead. What's your
name? I just had a question. You know the covers for all the Harry Potter books? Put you on the spot. Which one, each individually, actually, do you prefer the American ones or the English ones?
I like the English ones because of how colorful they are. I think the artwork's really good.
I think the American ones are pretty shocking, to be honest. Like, I really like the English ones, but... I think they're kind of childish, the American ones. Sorry.
No, I think the UK ones are more childish.
Yeah. I don't know.
They just look, just because of the way they were sketched,
Andrew,
no?
When you come to London, you're in our country.
Oh, right, I have to say that. Chucked out the window. Yeah. Back on the, what's that street there? Piccadilly. Piccadilly, yeah. It's a one way. How about you guys?
I don't know, I like them both.
You skip me.
Wait, why? No, well, I do skip you, because you didn't get on it. You didn't get on it. No, I like them both. I mean, I think if I had to choose, I'd probably say American, just because I like how their color schemes match with like the tone of the book.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but these chatty images are just...
Yeah,
sorry, well, Matt, just
yeah let me talk, Jamie.
Sorry, Matt.
I guess I like the American ones better just for the way the people are drawn. I like how the trio's drawn in the American versions better than the UK. Although I like the scenes they draw in the UK
yeah,
ones better.
Yeah, I was just going to say the scenes are better.
I like the Deathly Hallows one much better, though, than the American version.
Sort of related to this, there was the press unveiling of the Arthur Levine's copy of Beetle Barn in New York City today. Did anyone see pictures from that yet? Okay, they just came out a few hours ago because, you know, the time difference. But it's really weird. They have the Beetle the Bard, the actual thing, and it's in glass, and there's a poster behind it. And the order of the books is really weird, and I feel like the printer screwed it up because it goes Sorcerer's Stone, Order of the Phoenix, Chamber of Secrets, Prisoner of Azkaban, Goblet of Fire, Half-Blood Prince, Deathly Hallows. And it's like, why is that? I don't know. I just noticed that, and I was really interested. I think it's interesting. Why would they do that? Anyway, next question. So you guys are all going to go home and look at it and wonder the same thing.
Yeah, which story are you looking forward to the most in Beetlebot?
Oh, that's a good question. I read that when reading... Did anyone read Amazon summaries of the...
Yeah.
The one story... I think they said... The one that they said was the craziest was my favorite. And I think it was The Fountain of Fair Fortune.
Yeah,
that they said was the craziest one. Or it's like, it is the most purest of like the fairy tales. So, I don't know. What is everyone else looking forward to? Are there any that really stand out specifically? Babbity Rabbity, that looks really cool.
Yeah, what is that?
I just love the names.
Rabbit with no legs.
Yeah. And a stump that cackles.
Wouldn't it be more like Rolly be Stump?
Mm-mm. how about you guys, Elisa, Jamie?
I agree with that one.
I was going to say Babbity Rabbity too, just because I read like a quote that she said that she sort of put herself in a bind because she had come up with the name and then now she had to form a story around it, so I'm interested to see
how
she does that. Yeah, how she pulls that off.
That's true, I forgot about that.
I don't know, I don't think that sounds very PG.
Babbity Rabbity. You never know. Sounds like an actress's name you're trying to say.
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay. All right, another question. How about this guy back here? Yep.
Just with Jamie saying about the other books that have been released before not feeling like Harry Potter books, do you think a Harry Potter book can feel like a true one without Harry? I mean, like, obviously it wouldn't be a Harry Potter book, but, like, it's in the same type of story.
Right. Well, like Matt said earlier, at the top it says a wizarding classic from the tales of Harry Potter, from the world of Harry Potter.
I think it depends on the storyline, though, as well. Like, you know, we started off in Philosopher's Stone and we went through to Deathly Hallows, and each one continued that saga. But I think a book like this has to be a companion book more than, like, it doesn't really feel like a Harry Potter book because we've found out everything we can find out. Although, you know, obviously it's going to give extra tidbits of information, but it's not going to continue the story.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I hope that she writes more books. I mean, she created that huge wizarding world and everything, and she's just going to focus on just one character.
I mean, she has the potential now to write stories about Harry's children, everyone's children.
Yeah.
And I think it would be really interesting, and everyone, that would sell like crazy.
We have to hope that she's feeling the credit crunch, so she has to write.
After that VAT drop, I think she'll be fine.
That's true, yeah.
So yeah, I knew that, and the signs are everywhere. How about this girl right here? Hi, what's your name?
Emma.
Hi, Emma.
I'm just kind of going off what you just saying. Do you think that J.K. can't really let go of Harry Potter? Just like,
that's a good
Maybe
question.
Maybe she's going to go on and do more stuff.
I know, I think she kind of has, though, because she, the epilogue of book 7 kind of ended it, kind of said how can she really write more after she said what's going to happen to them. She can like write past that point, but I don't really think she can go back and write before that point.
Yeah,
I think she kind of let go with that, but I don't know, again, if she's, you know, feeling the pinch.
I mean, after you're doing that for what, 10 years, you gotta feel like, you know, you can't let go of it, really.
True.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't let go of it.
Yeah,
so nobody has. Well,
that's the thing, too. I mean, I think as long as J.K. Rowling keeps seeing this huge fandom surrounding it, because, you know, the big question around book 7 was like, oh, what's going to happen to the fandom after, you know, and here we are almost a year and a half later, and, you know, nothing's happened.
Well, a lot of authors tend to disconnect from their material more than the fans do. Like Tolkien, he actually got upset because he seemed like he was the only person in the entire, you know, Lord of the Rings, you know, story that could not disconnect from the world except him.
You can get exhausted with a character as well and exhausted with a story. I think she probably does want to move on and write something new, start from the beginning. And also,
she want to do like a crime drama or something? A suspense
crime
novel?
Yeah, I read
suspense.
That.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Well, anything she does now is going to be... it's going to get huge hype around it. Because how could it not? And imagine starting another suspense novel or whatever and starting this whole trilogy all over again. It won't be as fun as Harry Potter, but...
Didn't she say, though, that if she published anything else outside of Harry Potter, she was considering using a pseudonym?
Oh, a what?
A pseudonym, like changing her name.
Oh.
To, like...
Was
Joanne
it just
Rowling?
Joking, though? I mean,
I couldn't tell.
It'll get leaked as well. We're going to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, we definitely would.
Yeah, that'd be really hard to keep it a secret.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stephanie Meyer is actually Stephanie Meyer for those women. Hi.
Just, this is something a friend of mine and I were talking about. It's kind of going back to the fandom thing. There's the Harry Potter books, the literary part of it, and how great they are as well written, and then the fandom of it that you guys, you know, are a part of with the MuggleCast and with everything like that. With keeping all that in mind, how do you guys feel about the theme park coming out?
Oh, I kind of want to see it.
Huh?
What?
You can almost see it?
I want to see it.
Oh,
I think we have
plans out for
it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm just curious how you
guys. Nice.
I'm excited, but like when this theme park was just a rumor, people were like, that's sort of really, it's kind of selling out. That's what some people were sort of saying. Because, I mean, whoever thought Harry Potter would ever be a theme park?
Right.
And then the theme park was, like, the biggest hint that Harry wouldn't die because everyone was saying that, oh, well, if Harry dies, nobody would want to go to, I mean, people will go, but it'll be a sad mood if Harry's dead, you know. And everyone's like, hey, I'm riding Harry Potter's Firebolt. And he died.
I think it'd be really cool, though. I mean, you could actually go into the Three Broomsticks or something and actually order a drink.
That'd be sweet, yeah.
That'd be sweet.
Now, as UK people, do you hesitate with the trip? Because, you know, it's going to be a good... No? Okay.
No.
They
got time to save up.
Why isn't it in the UK, though?
Because, hey, no offense, but we got Disneyland, we got Disney World. Yeah. Personally, I think it would have been a lot cooler to do an entire Harry Potter theme park rather than putting it in Universal, because Universal is limited.
Yeah, but that's a big deal, doing an entire thing.
Yeah, I know. But think about like how many Disney fans, and then think about like how many Harry Potter fans there are. Think about how many Universal fans of all those movies that are there. Like, what's there? Dr. Seuss, I think. Jurassic Park, I've never been there. The Hulk. Yeah, all Universal movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The Harry Potter thing would reach out.
Yeah, it's a good thing Harry Potter's a universal movie, too.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense, but... I think we have time for a couple more questions. How about this girl over here? Dead air. Okay, good. What's your question?
As David Heyman's directing the next films, do you think it will suck as much as Joaquin Phoenix did compared to the books?
Oh, you don't like it?
No, it was terrible.
Does everyone think David Yates is going to be good, be able to carry it through? I do. I mean, here's why I'm excited about Half-Blood Prince. I think that this is the second time we're seeing a director direct two Harry Potters. And I think Chamber of Secrets did definitely get better after Sorcerer's Stone. And now David Yates has a lot to look back on and be like, okay, here's what I can do differently.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But he wants them to bring their own style to it. Like Heyman said, didn't he, that he wanted every director to not look back? Didn't he say that? And he wanted everyone to treat that like one Harry Potter film as their project and stuff and not look back to previous films?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then that's why the movies don't really connect to each other.
Well, no, yeah, it's true. They don't at all.
Yeah.
But do you think Half-Blood Prince is going to be good? Or do you...
Yeah, the trailer looks good. Yeah.
The trailers always look good, though.
Yeah, they really do. Yes?
I just want to add a comment to that because I sensed from all the extras on the DVDs that all the actors really love working with him compared to the director before. And as the movies get more intense, the acting needs to get more intense, so I'm really excited about the nuances for the new films.
Yeah.
I think David Yates is, as we've seen him, is probably more passionate and more wants the fans to like the movie more.
You know, I heard that... Sorry.
Sorry, no, go ahead.
I heard that too, that Mike Newell didn't really connect with the kids very well.
Yeah.
That's who you're talking about. Yeah, I heard that somewhere. And
I think it was like one of the DVD things.
Mm-hmm. I yell at the kids. It makes them good. I hate them. Grr, but it makes good acting. Okay, and we'll do one final question, and then we'll start wrapping it up, and then we got Beetle the Bard in 45 minutes. You look like you want to say something. Do you? She's like,
I don't know.
Well, I'm not sure if everyone will agree, but I'm not particularly a big fan of Emma Watson's Hermione. I feel like the cheek sometimes is, like, over dramatic, and I just wasn't sure.
And her eyebrows constantly move. I mean, every time she opens her mouth, they go up.
I wish we just had a mic on the whole audience, because you just heard all these little, yes, yes, yes. Finally, somebody said it. I think she's good, but I think in the Half-Blood Prince trailer, that crying was a little. As we said on the live show, people were very excited about her bushy hair, but I think that just came from being like electrocuted or something.
Because
if you look at
what?
It didn't look that way in the rest of it. It was just that one part. I saw the same.
But
bright.
That one part was
heavy. If you look at Seamus standing next to him, I think he looked a little
he
dirtied
did.
Up. So that's why
his face blew up. That's why.
Yeah.
Again.
Oh, right. Okay. Up. Sorry.
Okay. One last. You already went. This is not fair.
I think I know why Hermione's hair is bushy in that particular scene.
Why?
In the book, there's the discussion when Harry's sort of cheating by using the Half-Blood Prince's potion book. Hermione's getting more and more frustrated.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's exactly
and
what I said. See?
At one point, that she actually cuts off a bit of her own hair to put in the potion. And I imagine if Seamus has been blown up, they're probably in potions.
Cool. That's a good point. Yep.
That's a very good point.
Definitely. All right, guys. Well, unfortunately, we do have to start wrapping it up. Of course, we're going to hang around and hang out with everyone until Beetle the Bard in 45 minutes. We can all have our personal MuggleCasts just once we stop recording. So we're doing another show, but Waterstones doesn't know. Anyway, thank you, everyone, for coming out tonight. Is everyone still excited for Beetle? Real quick, is everyone, I mean, you know, we all stayed up for book 7, so everyone's going to stay up, you know, all night reading the...
Yeah,
I hope it's.
It will only take you like 2 or 3 hours.
It's going to be handed to us, and we're going to be. No, we're just kidding. We're very excited. Thank you so much for Waterstones. Thank you to the crew who's been doing this for us. Everyone back there, Joe James especially. She's been coordinating this whole event with us. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
And thank you guys for coming. We got lots of T-shirts up here. They're free. So come on up. And thanks again to Olivebonds.com too. All right, thanks everybody.